And he's presaged our next speaker, Claire Amies. Claire was appointed to being chief executive of WorkSafe Victoria in June 2 years ago, responsible for preventing workplace injuries, supporting injured workers and managing insurance and compensation for both workers and employers. Prior to that, has held several executive positions at WorkSafe, including executive director of the Health and Disability Strategy Group. Prior to that, worked in health and was Chief Executive Officer of the Western Region Health Centre. Please welcome Claire.
It's great to be here, but I've realised I'm now between you and morning tea, and you've listened to lots of speakers, and we're not going to be too dissimilar at WorkSafe, I have to say, but I don't know that we're as far along the journey as some of the speakers I've already heard. So I'd also first just like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we're meeting, and I pay my respects to their elders both past and present, and for any Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander communities that might be with us today. So I thought I'd just going to go through a little bit about WorkSafe, some prevention-led transformation, because we have announced Strategy 2030 at WorkSafe, and I think as much as this has been in the making for about 2 years, I feel like we're only just beginning the journey. And I liked Joe talking about innovation. I was recently talking to a group of other people across Australia who work across government and mainly within the departments, and we've decided that innovation really in government is imitation. So what this does, having these opportunities over a number of days, is for us to actually steal ideas from each other and actually see if we can actually get some real grounds right across the country in terms of what it means to provide workers' compensation and motor accident response for people in the CTP. So I actually think there's some really great opportunities for us. So why at WorkSafe did we actually think about Strategy 2030? And I think there's a lot in terms of our case for change, but I just want to say at the beginning that there is no legislative change in Victoria around workers' compensation or OHS regulation. We do have a relocation to Geelong, and we made a decision maybe that's an opportunity for us to actually think differently. It's a very different investment in our organisation. We're very successful. So our safety rates are the best on record in the last 12 months, so a 7% reduction in claims per million hours worked and a 20% reduction in Victoria over 5 years. We've actually managed the scheme pretty well. However, starting to see pressure. And it's not just because industry's changing, it's not just because work's changing, but they are absolute realities. And our legislation's written at a time where a worker and employer relationship is a very traditional role based on very traditional industries. So what does that mean for us as an OHS regulator and also the provider of workers' compensation in Victoria for our future? I also think that the other thing that happened in the first 18 months of me being in the role is we had more parliamentary inquiries and investigations into how we conduct our services in Victoria than we'd had in the previous 15 years combined. So it was an enormous amount of scrutiny and people telling us maybe we're not as good as we think we are, which is always a real shock to an organisation, a bit like Joe says, that our people are very proud about coming to work every day. We fundamentally believe in the work we do, but there was a real message that maybe we're not meeting those expectations outside of our business. And what does that mean in terms of our future? We then sat down with employers and workers, and it sounds like everybody's sort of sitting down with our key stakeholders. And I think, interestingly for us, we're very good at consulting stakeholders, but probably what we hadn't done is that direct engagement with our clients. So injured workers, workers and employers in the state, both who had experienced our system through an OHS regulator lens or through workers' comp, but also those who had not experienced our system. We also then looked at all the research we'd undertook with ISCA and a range of universities that were telling us a whole lot of key messages around what our future should look like and what some of the issues are. We also then absolutely held an enormous number of workshops directly with our stakeholders. And I have to say, I was quite shocked at how far our stakeholders wanted to take the change for us. So ultimately, the message was clear. We need to listen more, and we need to listen to the needs of our clients, which is similar to what everybody's saying. It needs to be more tailored, and it's not tailored just to the individual injured person and the individual injured worker, but the individual workplace. Not just on industry, but actually what is happening in that workplace and what is the relationship between the employer and the worker. The other thing is that we need to lead the way, which was really interesting. So our stakeholders and clients and, in terms of workplaces across the state said that they still want to see WorkSafe Victoria leading the way. But we're not adaptive and we don't adapt quickly, that it's quite slow to get change in our business. And they wanted it to be simpler. That doesn't mean that it's just easy and it's great access. It's simpler in terms of what we need to do. What do I need to do to keep my workers healthy, safe and well? But also, if someone is injured, what do I need to do? Your system is incredibly complicated and overly engineered. And it means, particularly once someone's injured, that they get a lawyer involved very early on. So this means for us around what does really, when we talk about prevention-led transformation, what does it really mean? So there's few organisations in the world that are both the health and safety regulator and the workers' compensation insurer. So we saw a real unique opportunity for us. And really what it means to bring this to life is actually to join up our business. So most people think of WorkSafe Victoria as two separate organisations within the one brand. And there's no doubt there probably is a little bit of that at WorkSafe, I can assure you, almost, you know, multiple cultures within the one organisation. But what this means is actually joining up our organisation as an end-to-end service system to Victorian workplaces. So as I said, we know that community perceptions of WorkSafe are pretty much clear about our role as regulator, that we're a trusted advisor when it comes to OHS, that we're well known for our inspectors, we're well known in terms of the brand, in terms of our campaigns and our ads, but we're not so well known in terms of our role in workers' compensation and return to work. And we're not so well known around that broader message across Victoria. So that actually says that people understand compliance in Victoria. They actually understand what it means to have good compliance, to have good systems in place, and what we refer to as a good safe system of work. And we also know that if you're a really good organisation and your culture has got a very, very strong bedrock of health and safety, that when someone is injured, that often they also do quite well. But again, there's always however, because there's always a different experience. And the main thing for us was around our capability and use of data and analytics. And I think we've heard a couple of speakers talk about that. We're very data-rich organisations. We have an enormous amount of information. But at WorkSafe Victoria, that information is held very separately. It doesn't connect up. It's very hard to see a full view. And when we decided to put out a community discussion paper on our future and what it meant, one of the submission actually came back saying that every incident report submitted to an employer creates a better understanding of where the potential hazards are. And why aren't we using that more? And why are we using that only in that workplace, not as something that we can leverage? So what does it really mean to join up data in an organisation like ours? And this is really also not just saying what does it mean in terms of the data we collect, but what are those opportunities for us to join up data with external sources as well? What will it actually mean? So for us, it's about proactively identifying emerging risks and hazards and looking at the different way we develop resources, but importantly, how we respond to the needs of workers and employers. It means that we'll be able to provide employers and workers something that's more tailored and more specific to their need. So we all talk about, you know, the right information at the right time. We want to get to a point where you're not searching that information, but we're actually pushing that information out to you. So we understand what your business needs are. We understand what your risks are for your business. But when someone's injured, we also understand what your needs are to enable a successful early claim, early treatment, but importantly, return to work is the absolute focus in the moment that that person actually is injured. It is about streamlining access to our services, and I think we've heard a lot about how do we do that, how do we get out of the way. As much as we want to get out of the way, we also want to know when you want us in the way. So we can understand that there's some people that are absolutely going to need our help. They're very complex injuries, complex situations, and absolutely we need to be engaged. And treaters at some point also want a little bit of help with that as well. So we've been surveying treaters and GPs for a long time, and they often say they just do not understand the workers' comp system. They don't understand where to send people. They don't understand how to navigate what our requirements are. But we also know that sometimes when you think you know what's going on, things don't necessarily go according to plan. So prevention-led for us, in terms of bringing this to life, is actually saying if you're an inspector and you were on site, that you actually understand a lot more about that business. You've actually got the tools and all the guidance and information that you need, but you also know if there've previously been an injury. You know if somebody's actually off work at the moment. You know if there's a return to work plan in place or if there's not a return to work plan in place. So we have a number of people visiting about 45,000 workplaces every year through our Health and Safety Inspectorate, and they're not having any conversation in any of those workplaces around return to work and the importance of responding to people once they're injured. We've also got some work that we're doing with RMIT around restorative justice. So you've heard a bit about the impact of lawyers' common law. There's no doubt in terms of prevention-led for us is a recognition that the workers' compensation system can actually do further harm. And I know that's, you know, shouldn't be surprising to anyone in the room, but we know that by overcomplicating the process or the person not understanding it or receiving a letter that their claim's accepted and you have to get to page 3 to find out that your claim is accepted because you've had to read all the different sections of the Act first in terms of determining your claim is absolutely confusing and stressful to an injured worker, let alone how their workplace is responding to them being injured. So this means for us that really it's a major cultural shift. So we're not just looking at it in terms of what does it mean for WorkSafe. We're actually saying that Strategy 2030 for us requires us to have a much broader, deeper cultural shift across Victoria that embeds a prevention-led approach, both in thinking but also in practice. And so how do we actually move to behaviours in the workplace that are much more about active versus passive behaviour when it comes to prevention? We want to have an approach, there's co-ownership with the whole of the Victorian community. And I guess, again, as you know, Joe and I work very closely together. TAC and WorkSafe has a very long history. And at WorkSafe, we're absolutely envious around how ownership around road safety is with the whole community. So we want workplace prevention in terms of people's health and safety and well-being to be as simple as putting on your seatbelt every time you get in the car, putting on sunscreen every time you go out in the sun. We want it to be that embedded in our state to really have a very different conversation. And of course, that really requires us to actually think differently about how we campaign, what we fund, and how we position ourselves. So we're not denying that we'll always be the OHS regulator, and that bedrock of compliance and enforcement absolutely will continue. But it means that we need to think very differently about how we communicate what's required in terms of prevention, in terms of right up in almost the health promotion elements, right through to wellness, right through to when someone's injured. The government recently announced in Victoria $50 million to improve the mental health and well-being of every Victorian worker. So this is an unheard of amount of money, I'd say, in our state, let alone nationally, around what it really means to keep people well at work. Very similar to every other compensation group that we've already heard today in the country, is that we see mental injury as a significant issue in Victoria as well. So we know that if you have a mental injury claim, that at 6 months, you're at 45% of those people are not back at work. And that's compared to only 18% for a physical injury at 6 months. We also see people who are long-term on our scheme with significant issues in terms of their mental health. And often we refer to it as secondary mental health issues, but I would argue that they're all pretty much been there from the beginning. We're only recognising them as they actually are on our scheme long-term. So it does need us to think about how do we reposition our brand and how we reposition our message in the organisation. So, in terms of success for us, success is pretty broad. In terms of our business case, and our board has signed off on a new approach and transformation for our organisation, we're also measuring that not just against scheme performance and continued success in terms of the value proposition we have in terms of break-even premium and liability management, but it's also around our social and economic impact on the state. So we've said that there needs to be a broader investment in prevention. So when we had a really good look at WorkSafe in terms of how much does it cost in terms of our efficiency and effectiveness measures of workers' compensation, majority of our budget goes to workers' compensation and managing people who are injured versus a very small amount of our investment being in prevention. So our change will be turning that on its head and actually putting more money in terms of prevention. There does need to be ease of access. There's no doubt. I think we've heard that loud and clear from everybody. And I think that particularly for us, that's around ease of access in terms of not just about getting into our scheme. It's more about once your claim has been accepted, how do we help you actually navigate that? How do we make it very understandable for you about what treatment's available to you? We're not too dissimilar in terms of when people are injured at work, staying off work until their claim is accepted, particularly mental injuries. And in Victoria, it's up to 28 days for a claim to be accepted. So if you're sitting at home with no contact, no treatment, for over 28 days, it is highly likely that you may never return to work. We need to have a strong safety culture in Victoria. And we need to actually see ourselves as partnering with employers and workers in the future. We do look at what does the delivery of social and economic benefit. It needs to be around improved workplace wellness and how do we measure that as a state. The reduced injury rates, but also we're looking at absenteeism and presenteeism in Victoria. We do want to look at recovery pathways and not just return to work outcomes where people actually stay at work as part of their recovery. And we do want to look at how do we see that we've reduced the stress and uncertainty associated with compliance and particularly navigating once you've had a workplace injury. And I think I'll stop there because I'm running out of time. So thank you very much.
So can we just put up the number again, please? Just doesn't do for any for to be repeated, so you keep on SMSing your texts and your thoughts so we can put that together for the panel discussion. Can you please join me in thanking a really great set of speakers this morning, really fantastic.